With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything I got.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the podcast, Theanos, presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who isn't so old that he can't stay up for the West Coast games. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, what's up?
That's only a half-truth. So one of the games I did stay up for all the way, powered by coffee and just, you know, hatred for the A's. But I did do the old man thing where I got a little, you know, a little napetizer, a little snore d'oeuvre. Where I slept and then I watched the end of the game and then I went back to sleep.
So I got to.
I'm older man.
I got to press you on this. Why do you hate the A's? Who could possibly hate the A's? They're so vanilla.
I don't know. They're fine, I guess. I don't really hate them.
That's good. So I want to zoom in on this coffee thing. As all the listeners know, I'm a big coffee guy, but I never drink it after like 5:30 for fear that I won't be able to sleep. You drink coffee in the evening, sleep, wake up again and sleep again. That I feel like I would have no chance of making that happen.
No, I could drink coffee all the time. Now, usually I'm having a adult beverage in the evening.
So it evens out. All right.
That's welcoming the Sandman even a little sooner. But if I have coffee, at least I have a fighting chance.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Of staying awake.
Yeah, it only took a couple weeks for the West Coast to just completely drain our morale and basically steal our souls as a team. So do you like staying up for the late games?
There is a certain peacefulness to it. Like, everything is done for the day. I'm not chasing anything. I can just enjoy the game, and I can enjoy the Twitter banter, and it can just be its own thing. Like the 7 o'clock games, usually there's more going on. In my case, I'm, you know, putting kids to bed, cleaning up dinner. You know, there's chores. Maybe I want to mow the lawn. You know, there's a lot going on. The West Coast games are a pure baseball experience.
I agree. And it's very similar to like a 7:30 kickoff for soccer. Like, there is nothing else going on. Yep. I'm sure maybe your kids are up at 7:30, but in my house, like when I wake up at 7:30 for a game, there's nothing going on. I have my coffee. I watch the game. I'm on Twitter, you know, talking it up with Manx across the world. But yeah, that's it's an interesting.
Manx? You're calling yourself Manx?
As in people from Manchester? Yeah.
They call themselves man. They're not Manus.
No, because half the city doesn't pull for that team.
There's big news in the world of soccerdom, isn't there?
There is huge news.
Do you have a hot? This is a baseball podcast, but can you give me a 15-second soccer hot take?
So do you want me to explain to the listeners what is going on?
Don't take a lot of time doing it.
So imagine that. So let's take college football, for example. Imagine that all the best teams from the SEC, like Bama, LSU, et cetera, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, USC, Texas, all of these teams are like, screw it. We're not going to play in the Big Ten, Big 12, et cetera. Instead, we're only going to play each other, and we're going to make a lot more money doing it.
That's not totally accurate because they would still play. It's like, I'm going to play in my Big Ten schedule on the weekends, but I'm not going to do the BCS and I'm going to play the other big teams on Wednesdays.
But there's been talk of FIFA the domestic not allowing them to play in the domestic leagues, which would be killer for the domestic leagues because nobody would care about a league without the top six teams in England. Anyway, we're getting too far into the weeds here.
But do you like it?
I'm not smart enough to know the ramifications yet.
Conventional wisdom is everybody hates it.
It's hard to ignore the fact that every week you're going to get those big 16 teams playing against each other, though. Like, that is, from somebody who doesn't understand the trickle down, what it's going to do to everything,
So you're suckling at the teat of big soccer.
I suppose I am. Which I feel like I'm usually very against, but not having a rooting interest in a Burnley or a Crystal Palace, like, or a Newcastle, it's hard for me to understand exactly what it's going to do to those teams. All I know is that United is going to be playing Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern, obviously getting destroyed by these teams every week, and I don't hate that.
So you're just you're diminishing all the Central Michigan, Akron, Toledo fans among us. You're just pooing on them, saying you're not important.
Yeah, I guess I am. I guess I hadn't really thought about it like that, but I mean, okay, I don't pull for Akron or Central Michigan. I pull for Michigan and Man United. Like, I don't want bad things to happen to other people's sports fandom, but I'm seeing a hard time seeing how that affects me.
You're like the guy who likes the Lakers and, you know, the Cowboys. You're the Justin Bieber of sports fans. You're a front runner, is what they call them.
The crazy thing is when I picked United, I knew nothing about them other than that Wayne Rooney overhead kick. And I'm like, all right, that's my team. And it just happened that I picked essentially the Yankees, which, looking back, I might have gone a different direction, but here we are. All right.
Okay.
Speaking of different direction, I saw this headline and I thought we probably should discuss this on the show this week. And I quote, "Scientists have described a dinosaur's butthole in exquisite detail."
How else could you describe one? It's always exquisite.
So when a dog-sized, all right, this is my dinosaur pronunciation, Sitakasaurus was living out its days on Earth, it was probably concerned with mating, eating, and not being killed by other dinosaurs. It would never have even crossed its mind that 120 million or so years later, scientists would be peering intensely up its behind. Apparently, so summing this up, apparently, have you heard of the word cloaca? It's a catch-all hole used for peeing, pooping, mating, and laying eggs. And apparently, we as the scientific community, we're like, cure COVID and cancer? No. I'm good on that. Let's look up the butthole of a bunch of dinosaurs. So apparently, we've done a lot of research, and this is loosely summing up the article because I'm not a scientist, but it sounds like dinosaurs are
loosely got it
a little bit closer to reptiles than maybe we first thought. So that's that.
Don't birds have this feature too?
Yes. So anyway, this is another quote from the article. Other paleontologists will now look for fossilized buttholes to try to fill the gaps in our understanding of dinosaur life. So this wasn't from like the Wall Street Journal, but I thought that
what kind of publications are you reading?
I can't remember.
Dinosaur Butthole Weekly?
I'm sure I saw it on Twitter. That's where I consume 100% of my news from. What kind of dinosaur butthole is your favorite?
Well, see, I'm a big Triceratops guy.
Because a little foot?
I like to be contrarian. Yeah. Everybody likes the T-Rex. T-Rex is the man you of dinosaurs.
So
I'm not going there.
Triceratops is Newcastle?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
What is a Stegosaurus? What club is a Stegosaurus?
Stegosaurus is like, Stegosaurus would be like Chelsea. No, I would say... Yeah, maybe Chelsea.
All right. So here's a hot take. You actually asked me for a hot take on the European Super League. This is what I have a hot take on. People are always so fearful.
Dinosaur buttholes?
No, dinosaur related, but I've moved past the buttholes at this point. So people are always so fearful of dinosaurs because of Jurassic Park. But like, there's lions and tigers and stuff that if you get too close to them, it's going to be a problem for us now. Like, most dinosaurs were pretty chill, including your boys, the Brontosaurus. Like, I think we'd be fine.
You know what I find fascinating is that the biggest creature that has ever existed on this planet is alive right now.
The Megalodon?
They live. They live. Nessie. The blue whale is the largest creature to exist or to have ever existed. And we are alive to witness it. I think that's something.
Yeah. We should all go on a blue whale watching tour so that we can feel in tune with that. Have you ever seen one in person?
No, but I don't think they do many like tricks or anything. Like, can't you just go like watch a water tower or something and get a similar experience?
The
like,
Ipsy water tower?
Sufficiently a big thing. No, that's not, it's not what we're after.
Have you ever been to that dinosaur park off of 4 in like nearby Lakeland?
No, but I've driven past it. Like, they have the big fiberglass dinosaurs.
I mean, it's like a Madame Tussauds, but for dinosaurs. Yeah. How would you feel in that place at night?
Fine.
I feel like I've told Whitney this a million times because we drive by it all the time. I would be weirded out to my core to be in that place after dark. Like, I almost can't picture a more terrifying situation than that.
They're fiberglass. They're not real.
Well, mentally, I know that. In the heat of the moment, it feels like it's something that could get on top of me.
The scariest thing for me late at night would probably be a cocktail party where you have to talk to the people.
That sounds terrible at any hour.
Yeah. Give me the fiberglass dinosaurs. Don't give me pretentious cocktail party. I don't want that.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. And the show is at Podcastianos, facebook.com/podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever platform you're listening to the show on. And please, somebody, just leave us a review. The last one up there says, I can't remember exactly what it says, but it's vaguely negative. So maybe just somebody put another one on there so that the most recent one isn't like, meh, they're fine.
We haven't got one since Corona hit, I don't think.
Yeah. So,
it's fine.
Of course, the show is brought to you by Moot's Pizzeria and Bar in downtown Detroit. Looking for a bite before or after the game? Check out Moot's Pizzeria and Bar located on Library Street. Eric, I want to, before we get back to the read, I want to tell you about this. We got our land tax bill. Is that's a thing, right? Like, because we own
property
the house?
Tax.
Property tax. There we go.
Tax bill.
We're getting charged 130 some bucks every 6 months because of a library. How do we opt out of this crap? I don't need access to a library.
No,
there's a
you
thing
go
called
get
the
your
internet.
Money's worth.
No, I'm not going to do
that. Caveman, go learn.
All those book jockeys. Anyway. So, Moot's Pizzeria, great pizza, also helping me get out of that charge. It's in the heart of Detroit. It's one of the Motor City's hottest restaurants and the only authentic New York pizzeria in the city. I love the truffled bumblebee appetizer and Nana's meatballs because they're amazing meatballs. Or if you're feeling generous, try splitting one of their specialty pizza with friends. Check out mootspizzeria.com. to view the entire menu. And remember, Moots validates your parking for 2 hours when you park in the Z lot. Be sure to tell them Jordan and Eric sent you.
Check out their food and a book.
Or just the food.
Yeah.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
It was another very typical week for our young developing Tigers. We absolutely crush three very solid starting pitchers, then struggle. Would you say that's a strong enough word against the electric arms of Sean Manaea, Frankie Montes, Cole Irvin, and Chris Bassett?
It needs a stronger word. It needs falling on your face and then tumbling down some stairs and then having a dinosaur land on you.
Cloaca first.
Cloaca first. Yeah, it was bad.
I can't believe the Latins didn't come up with a word for that exact phrase. I feel like there's... all
the
kinds
Germans
of.
Might have. The Germans would be all over that.
So which series from last week did you enjoy more?
Oh, my goodness. So isn't it a study of highs and lows? The banter on Twitter after Houston was like, oh, we're here now. we're good. We're a good team. Imagine all these pieces are coming together. Wilson Ramos is going to lead the league in home runs. Our young pitchers are destroying. Akil Badu is for real. And everything was hugs and rainbows. And then we took that delayed late night flight to Oakland and everything went away. We couldn't score a run. Couldn't score a run.
We hit a buck 85 as a team in the series. It struck out 42 times, which that's not great. I texted you this. I'm starting to think that Renato Nunez by himself isn't actually going to save the offense. Who knew?
Yeah, who knew that, you know, him taking the place of Miguel Cabrera, a Hall of Famer, wasn't just going to, you know, instantly provide everything we needed, right?
So hear me out here. We call up a guy from the taxi squad and yes. immediately stick him into the cleanup spot and yes, then hit him there repeatedly.
Yeah.
That should give you pause.
You can't tell me it's necessarily the wrong move.
Oh, no, it's not. I feel like that's the overarching that's the sadness bigger of it. Issue.
This isn't some, you know, academic blunder or something like that. I mean, we just don't have anybody better.
So Nunez went 1 for 12 in the series. Scope went 0 for 10. And your boy Akil went 0 for 11 with 8 strikeouts.
I was going to say a lot of strikeouts.
This is just the progression of a young, struggling team. So I think that we're going somewhere. I genuinely think that we're finally going in the right direction. But these weeks are going to happen. I feel like we're going to have this same discussion like 7 more times. The only other discussion we'll have was probably be like, holy crap, we just lost 6 games last week. But this, I feel like we need to focus in on individual performances and individual progressions so that we are not overloaded with, you know, 1 step forward, 2 step back over the course of the season, because honestly, that's probably what it's going to be.
So you want us to admire the impressive decoration on a sinking ship?
Yeah, I would say so. But the thing is it's sinking now to rise to higher waves later, I think.
It's the phoenix of boats. Yes, the Firebird. Yeah. We'll be back.
Let's talk about one of them. Willie Castro starting to show some signs. Had 4 hits in that series. Only struck out 4 times, which for him is moving in the right direction.
Hutch?
Obviously, I'm a big Willie Big Willie guy.
Big Willie style.
Big Willie style. Are you feeling the Willie like answer the question.
No. I don't know if I'm feeling the Willie or not. How do you know if you're feeling the Willie?
I feel like it's the kind of thing you just know.
You just know it in your heart if you're feeling the Willie. He's batting a cool .213 on the year.
But he was hitting 190 like a week ago.
He has, let's see, he's walked 3 times. How many strikeouts do you think Willie Castro has?
19.
16. We don't have anybody close to even approaching half as many walks as strikeouts, except for one Robbie Grossman.
Obviously.
I don't know. The Robert of walks. We need to come up with a nickname for him or something.
The Archduke. Archduke of pedestrians.
He's not the Greek god of walks like Euclid, but no. Okay. Back to Willie Castro. He shows flashes, right? Just, it's like everything else in the club. It's something to dream on. He shows flashes. You can kind of convince yourself. And then all of a sudden, it just evaporates into nothing. And you're like, why did I ever think this guy was a thing?
I'm going to pose a question to you. Have we ever seen anything from Willie Castro that's better than the highlight of what we've seen from Nico Goodrum?
What? Say that again.
Have we seen a higher high from Willie than we've seen a highest high from Nico?
Yes, maybe.
I mean, he was pretty good last year, but there was a stretch, not last year, but the year before, that Nico was probably the best player we had offensively.
Right.
I'm starting to, Like, you know me. I'm
you're a big Willie. You've been feeling the Willie more than any of us.
For a long time. I'm starting to get I don't want to say Nico vibes from him. I'm starting to get Marwin Gonzalez vibes from him. How about that?
You know, any viable big league player is really kind of a success, isn't it?
I would say so. So I wanted to talk this week about how I'm starting to be alarmed by the lack of support from the supporting cast. As I was obviously we all know what I'm talking about. And as I was deconstructing that in my mind, do we have anybody that isn't actually just supporting cast? Do we have any like main cast? Like, it's Jamer, right? Like, there is no other
Jamer's the
main
only guy
cast.
You can make a case for, right?
It's wild. How are we? I mean, Mickey was hitting 190, but we're one injury away from having one legitimate threat in the lineup.
You know, the NBA always puts like one guy on their little promos. Come see LeBron James and the Cavaliers. So who do you put? And the Tigers promos that I've seen has said, come see Jamer Candelario and the Tigers.
I'd be like, nah, dog, I'm good.
That's what we have. Like, that's our main guy.
To give Jamer his due, Jamer's actually been very good this year. He's already accrued half a win in terms of WAR, slugging yep. 410, 295 batting. Like, Jamer's actually been very good. I'm starting to think that
this is more than this year too. His year last year, and I mean, he's compiling a strong foundation where you say, okay, this guy kind of gets it now.
That being said, I still don't know that he's better than like a six hitter on a good team.
Well, that's true. We need to find more good. Where are we going to find more good players? Because, like you say, this is a good supporting cast. This is, you know, at the beginning of the year, I joked about this being that one aisle at the end of Aldi where you just like put an assortment of things together and you just buy whatever you want. And those are the free agents that we got. And I still feel that way. Like, this is an amalgam of just odds and ends that we're trying to make something out of. You need those two or three core players, and it's got to be somebody like Torkelson and Riley Green. Those guys have to come up and be perennial all-stars. If we're going to be good again, I mean, you can buy some free agents. You can use money. Money will make you better.
I don't know that we're going to, but you can.
You can't use money exclusively to be good. You need a couple anchors. And there's nobody on the big league club right now besides maybe Badu and Candelaria, who's going to be that anchor. But even in Candelaria, you got to re-sign him.
Yeah. I want to walk back my Willie Castro.
Let me take it back. Mize and Scooble.
Of course. Just talking offense here. And I want to walk back my Willie Castro slander. I'm still in on Willie Castro. Like, that's still my guy. But it's been a rough, 3 weeks? I do want to jump to your boy, Akil Badu.
He set
the world on fire in spring training. His batting eye, his home runs. He came out doing basically something different every single game. That was amazing. He's starting to turn. My question for you as an Akil guy, is it midnight on him? And what does midnight look like for Akil?
So here's my take on him. But yes, just to echo your sentiment, it's been a study in contrast. As soon as the Tigers put out that you could buy his jersey online, that was the turning point.
Of course.
That's when the carriage turned into a pumpkin a little bit. But I believe that this is, you know, the comparison's been made to Chris Shelton. I don't believe he's Chris Shelton. He is toolsy. He can catch the ball. He can throw the ball defensively. He's got all these strikeouts right now, but I feel like he was trying to, I made this joke. How can we carry Akil Badu all year? And then it was, how can Akil Badu carry us all year? I felt for a while like he, in this little stretch, like he's trying to carry the Tigers.
It's almost like he's trying to live up to the legend of Akil Badu.
Yeah. He does not, once he settles in and realizes that he does not have to do that, his plate approach that we saw in the spring and early in the year was excellent. I don't think you need to reteach him plate approach. I think he just needs the mindset and a little nudge to say, hey, you need to work accounts. You do you. You be the best that you can. You know, have that good approach at the plate. I think he'll be fine. But his swing is strong. He can hit. He can hit for some power. And he's got the rest of the things to be an asset for the club. Even, okay, let's say he hits 200 for a week or two. You can carry that with the other tools and things that he can bring, the speed, the defense. And then some weeks he's going to hit 350 for you. He's young. You're just going to have that high and low. And he's in a low right now. I'm convinced he will come back and hit though again.
So if he's a stock, you're for sure buying.
Oh yeah. This is like 3 months ago, Dogecoin. I'm loading up.
Yeah, definitely.
And Dogecoin.
Dogecoin.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like you
said,
to the moon. Like you say, we can carry a guy with tools that's hitting 200 for a couple of weeks because we're doing it with a bunch of other guys who don't have those additional tools.
What are you going to get Derek Hill to do that for you? So he's good at hitting .150.
Here's a mental exercise for you. Who you can only have one going forward. And maybe even just for the rest of this year, him or Jacoby Jones, who is a better player now and obviously long-term?
Wow.
I mean, it's him, right? Wow. By a mile.
I don't know about it by a mile. Jacoby has more experience.
That hasn't translated into anything.
I'm not going to say a name because I don't know his name, but this is a funny story. Like, we were down in Florida and we were on this fishing trip, and somebody in our group was talking about baseball and how we were from Michigan, and the guy next to us on the boat was like, oh yeah, one of my good friends, my high school friend, plays for the Tigers. And my brother-in-law is like, oh, who is it? Jacoby Jones. Well, I don't know who that is. Hey, Eric, do you know who Jacoby Jones is? And I'm kind of like, yeah, I do. Pretty much all the Tigers for the last 10 years or 15 years, I know who they are. So I chat with the guy a little bit, and he's like, oh yeah, he's from Mississippi. And yeah, and he brings it up. How about that Akil Baddoo? Because it was like three games into the season. So we chat. This is Jacoby Jones' high school teammate, and we're chatting about Akil Baddoo and how good he is. And, you know, it's funny that you brought up this question because it reminds me of that conversation. It's just Akil is probably more exciting, more promising. He's younger. And, you know, this is a bad streak for him. But we've seen Jacoby have these bad streaks too. I still would be more excited about having Baddoo right now.
I've seen more from Baddoo in, what, 3 weeks than we have from Jacoby in all these years? Like,
well, Jacoby can get on a power streak too where he can hit you some bombs.
I mean, he can, but he is severely limited in ways that Akil is not.
Right.
And I don't even think that it's too small of a sample size with Akil to say that.
Now, let's not go crazy and say, oh, Akil Baddoo is way up here and Jacoby Jones is down here. I mean, that's not the case. Jacoby Jones is probably still a currently better baseball player than Akil Baddoo.
Yeah, if we're talking MLB the Show ratings, Akil's like a 71 and Jacoby's like a 69, which I'm sure he would enjoy.
Who doesn't? Who wouldn't? But Jacoby he's a major league veteran now, right? He knows how the travel goes. He knows when you got to show up. He knows the attitude. He knows when not to argue with the umpires. And Akil Baddoo is figuring all that out right now.
But all of those things are just like what you get showing up to your job repeatedly. None of those things really impact it when it comes to actually doing your job to an appropriate or successful degree. I don't want to sound like I'm too out on Jacoby. I just, I don't know. I might be out on Jacoby. Speaking of Jacoby, so I was going back to how none of the supporting cast are doing anything. Reyes, Jacoby, Nunez, Scope, and Griner are all hitting below 200. That's not ideal. Ideally, we would get some of those guys and other guys to start hitting more. So I guess we'll see on that one. The other one I want to talk about is your boy Wilson Ramos. You mentioned him earlier on.
Oh,
tied for second in the AL and homers. I feel like we talked about this leading up to the season. You don't have to have guys who are good at everything. Sometimes you just have to have guys that can hit home runs. We have a guy who can hit home runs, and I'm not hating it. I'm not hating it. El Buffalo is fine.
You know, goalies, like NHL goalies, and then in one hand they have the glove,
mm-hmm.
and in the other hand they have the blocker, right? Which is sometimes it looks like El Buffalo is trying to catch with the blocker. He's yes. making blocker saves instead of glove saves. But yeah, hit the ball far. Chicks dig the long ball.
And it's not like the DH spot is so entrenched by anybody that we can occasionally put him there right. to get that. I mean, the glove behind the dish is alarming. Like, I feel like somebody's got to be like, dog, I don't think you can do this anymore. But when the alternative is Grayson Griner, I guess dog's going to keep doing this.
And it's peculiar because it's not that he doesn't have the tools to do it. He doesn't have, you know, it's just seems a little awkward sometimes, like he's kind of out of position, or and then sometimes he'll make a, like he caught that ball yesterday on the bounce, that bounce way in front of home plate, and he kind of lashes his glove out and snags it like it's no big deal, hucks it to second and almost gets the guy out. It's like he shows flashes of just really good athleticism and skills, but then sometimes the basics, like it hits the palm of his mitt and just kind of plunks down like a, like if it's out of a dinosaur cloaca. And I don't know.
Is it, you think it's weird. You think it's focus related? I feel like that's what all of those things you say, like hearing them, you know, one after another makes me think focus. Obviously I'm not inside of El Buffalo's head, so I can't comment for sure one way or the other.
You know, if I was a catcher, I'd just be tired all the time. It's a lot of squatting.
Do you know that he played for the Rays for 2 years? Do you have any recollection of that?
No, none.
Me either. looking through his career. He had like a almost a 4 WAR season with the Nationals a couple of years ago.
I know him as a Met. That's about it.
I think he was a Met most recently. All right, let's move on. Michael Fulmer, watching him his last yes. time out was so enjoyable. People are getting all, you know, into like, is he back? I don't care. It was awesome watching Michael Fulmer look like the old Michael Fulmer. Like, Michael Fulmer out on the mound is a dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he is a grinder. He is going to go at you. And for, I don't know, the better part of the last two seasons, he's almost looked like he's had one hand tied behind his back. He looks like he has all of his, which, I mean, he was hurt. Like, it's pretty easy to explain that one. He looks like he has his body back. And just being able to see him be in attack mode, as Keenan says, Mad Mike, I've really enjoyed that.
So I caught the last couple innings of his outing, and he was just, he seems sweaty to me, which to me was like a good sign.
Definitely.
Like, he's letting himself work, letting himself get into it, and just his approach has always been described as effortful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's never had this like clean, effortless, you know, slinging action. He always seems to be muscling it up there. And I think that's when he's at his best. Just let her rip, bulldog, grit your teeth kind of stuff. Now, you do get I get a little nervous, like, okay, how long does this go? He looks just like a machine that's kind of rattling, like some pin could come out of it. But right now he's pretty impressive to watch. The velocity, he's up to like 97 on the gun.
Yeah. According to FanGraphs, he's up over 2 miles an hour from last season.
Did he have that pre-surgery? I don't seem to remember that kind of velocity. Yeah, maybe it was
upper
there,
90s before.
But that's incredible.
So you talk about the pin coming out of the mechanism, and I think that's pretty apt, but he looks physically a lot better shape than he did before.
He looks thin.
Yeah, and I really think that that's going to be able to sustain him a little bit more. Like, you see a guy lose all that weight, and you think, like, is the velocity going to stick around? And clearly it has. I think that there is a little bit more give in his body than there was before. I feel like his athleticism is able to come out a little bit more. Obviously it's still a very intense delivery, and it's always going to make us all nervous.
So Jordan, you're more of a pitcher mechanics guy. I heard an interview where it wasn't a retool of his mechanics, but they were trying to get him in positions where it was more conducive to long-term health, I guess, and just trying to take some of the stress points out of that. I only know this from an interview, and he was saying, you know, how he really post-surgery wanted to get himself in good positions on that stuff. And that's kind of what took a while, because he was focusing on those things. I mean, I don't know enough to break that down and tell you anything about that. Are you buying that? I mean, is that a thing? Or is his, you know, inverted W or whatever the heck language, is it still just kind of a risk factor?
I think it's always going to be a risk factor. But I mean, there's little tweaks you can do. But what I really buy there is the mental aspect of it. If he's focusing on all these little tweaks, all these little things that he's trying to do, it's going to show. It's just like when we talked about with Casey Mize. If he's working on all these things and all of a sudden he just clears his mind and goes out and just does his thing.
It's like, F it, I'm burying.
Yeah, right, like that. Yeah. It is a huge thing. Like I remember in various points of my, I mean, obviously, no comparison, much lower level. But if there's something that you're actively thinking about when you're in the bullpen, that's cool. Like, think about it all you want. Try and get that muscle memory. But as soon as you try and bring that into the game, and that is what's like right here, you're just going to be all over the place. And I think that is, I could very easily see that having been a big part of what Michael's problem was, at least in spring training this year and potentially into last year.
Well, regardless of where he's been, where he is right now is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and
he looks great.
Honestly, I don't even necessarily care about the numbers at the end of this year. If we can get this Michael Fulmer to the end of the year and then going into next year, having a full offseason to build on this, I think we'll have something again.
Just so everybody's safe, has a good time, and has good sportsmanship. That's what I want.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, so we have a new segment this week. I'm calling former Tigers players who are doing well for themselves. So this is going to act as a little bit
of all about Andy Dierks, or
he is doing quite well for himself, isn't he? We got to get Andy on the show. How have we not had Andy on the show? Anyway, so I'm going to give you some facts about this player, and then you'll try and determine who.
It's like a game.
It is like a game. All right, he played for us between 2014 and 2017. He went to the same high school as Mike Napoli.
Okay.
He is a huge Walking Dead fan and was sent a commemorative bat from the show a couple years ago.
Danny Worth.
No. Big Tom Brady guy, like maybe too big.
I don't know.
First big league homer came against Dontrell Willis.
Cool. So he started in the National League?
Yes.
It was 2007. I don't know.
Do you collected, have yes, a few more. Collected 13.2 WAR in his 3.5 seasons with the Tigers.
13 WAR in 3 seasons?
3.5.
3.5 seasons? That's pretty good.
It is pretty good. He recently had a 3-homer game, making him a rare player who has had 3-homer games for 3 different teams.
McCann?
No. Last one. And
but 3 different teams.
You should be able to handle this one. He was traded for elite prospects Jose King, Sergio Alcantara, and Dowell Lugo.
JD Martinez.
JD Martinez off to a hot start. I think he's tied for sixth. He must be tied with El Bufalo. Tied for sixth in the AL with home runs. He's hitting like almost 400. Good to see Just Dingers back on it. Love that guy.
Yeah. He was kind of scuffling, but now he should be consistently a top 10 American League hitter.
Yeah, and
he has every right to do that.
Do you share the optimism that we might see a reunion with him down the line?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. No. While we're on the optimism and reunion thing, you got it
Verlander,
for JV?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's practically, you know, it's practically right there in the crystal ball, and everybody's saying it. Yes, JV, sure.
All right, cool. Let's get to your power rankings.
Power rankings. Here we go. I'm kind of excited about this week's power rankings.
Is it geography themed?
Well, let's start there. I was driving down to the Florida, and you get to see a lot of Middle America, and I see a lot of signs for distilleries. And with the advent of the novel coronavirus, I've been a bit of a dabbler in the world of the adult beverage, the whiskeys. But I got to tell you, there are way too many choices. There's so many choices. Like if you walk into even a Meijer or a liquor store, a party store, if you will, there are so many bottles. So I prefer the American, typically bourbon style of whiskey. This is a whiskey with an E.
Wait. So you like bourbon?
Yeah.
Do you, I'm assuming you're getting to this, but you put bourbon in other stuff, right?
Occasionally, if it's really good, I'll drink it neat. But usually I like to have like old fashions or Manhattans or whiskey sour. So
for one of the other podcasts that I do, we had a sponsor. Oh, it was Martin's. Martin's Count on Us.
Yeah, right.
They were the host of the sponsor of the show. We were interviewing their director of frozen foods, wine, and spirits in person, and he brought in bottles of bourbon, and you know,
yes,
the little like communion glasses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He poured us a bunch of little shots of bourbon and had us just drink it straight.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, not a bourbon guy. That was like a punch in the face.
Little burn.
Yeah. Hard pass.
You have
that.
A child's palate. There's no question.
Anyway, back to your power rankings.
But yeah, you're right. There's so many choices, and you know, maybe you're a first timer. You know, and you don't know what to get. You know, there's kind of expensive top shelf bourbons and there's bottom shelf bourbons. Well, I'm here to clear it up for you. I'm here to help. I'm a servant of the people. So I have for you the top seven and bottom three things to look for when buying whiskey.
All right. This is very niche, but I like it. Taking notes.
Okay. Here we go. Number seven is you want to look for something with a place name on it.
Okay.
So Mill Creek, maybe it's like West or the name of a state. You're going to get, you know, at least a seven ranking whiskey or higher, you know, something county. This is going to be a good starting point for you.
Okay. But before we move on from that, you say it's going to be a seven or higher. Is there actually like some sort of bourbon ranking system, or is this just on your scale?
This is on the Eric scale.
Okay. All right. I don't know anything about this.
These are things to look for when buying a whiskey.
Okay.
Of course, you can spend a lot of money and get something good, but you know, these are rules of thumb. Things to look for on the packaging.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Number six, you want to look for the full name of a guy. Okay. And the older they sound, the better.
That makes sense.
Okay. So these are like Basil Hayden, Jim Beam, Ezra Brooks, Evan Williams, Elmer T. Lee, George Dickel, Elijah Craig, you know, the full name of a guy.
It's a lot of old names. I don't know how you can tell.
You're not going to go too wrong if you get the full name of a guy.
I think either Ezra or Elmer are the choices there.
Yeah. Number six is you want to look for a mammal of some sort on the packaging.
That's how I pick my choices for everything, is I look for the animal on the package.
This is a good place to go. It's a number six tier choice, like a buffalo or a rabbit or a pig.
Oh, we should get an El Bufalo brand bourbon.
Yeah, the Bufalo.
How has he missed that? That's marketing tequila. Up though. Yeah. Anyway.
So a mammal. Number four, you want something with the word old in it. So, or early or ancient, you know.
Some old. Synonym. Yeah.
Yeah. Old. Because, you know, it must be good if it's old, obviously.
Opposite of people.
You're looking for the Victor Martinez's of bourbon here. Okay. You want something a little long in the tooth. Okay. Number three, look for something with a bird on the packaging.
Really? So bird ones are good.
Yeah. Yeah, birds. It's a couple steps above mammal,
all right,
for sure. So like turkey, chicken, eagle, owl. If you can find a good owl bourbon, you're going to be in good shape.
I had no idea the distilleries were so animal forward.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, number two is you want to look for the package that has just the last name. Okay, these people are famous enough where you don't need the whole name anymore.
Okay.
Just the last name. So Bullitt or Blanton or Michter's or Booker's, you know, and of course the Michigan possessive S is going to get you a long way too.
All right.
Okay. You're going to be in good shape. Last name only.
Last name only.
Yeah. Number one thing to look for on a package of bourbon or whiskey. Do you have a guess?
The color of the bourbon or whiskey?
No,
no. No. Okay. I tried.
You want the name of some category of aged relative. Yes.
As in great uncle.
Yeah. If you can get an uncle, a granddad, a pappy, you are in really good shape. You got to look for the aged relative.
I feel like pappy has to be like the pinnacle there.
It is. There's a bourbon, Pappy Van Winkle, and it is more valuable than you or I.
All right.
Now, I will say that this has kind of a force multiplier effect. So if you can have, you know, old something or, you know, old Eagle Pappy or something, you know, that's got to be extra good.
Wow, I'm learning so much tonight.
Yeah. I'm practically an expert. And, okay. Bottom three things that you want to look for or not look for in your whiskey selection. Anything that has, third from the worst, anything that has rebel or redneck or something like that on the packaging. You don't need that.
Nobody needs that.
Nobody needs that. You're just buying into some cliche. Okay. Two, anything with angel or devil or any kind of celestial being on it.
Also,
you don't
cliche.
Need that. Number one worst thing that you want to look for in a whiskey. Do you have a guess?
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Colors was a good guess. You don't want anything with color in it, but you certainly don't want anything with like flavor descriptors like apple, cinnamon, maple, peach, vanilla. No, it's whiskey. It's supposed to be just the thing that it is. It doesn't need to taste like whiskey has, it's like wine. Whiskey has its own flavor overtones. You don't need to force it. That's my hot alcohol takes, and that's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
That was a good one. I've learned a lot. I wish I could have gone back and forth a little bit more with you, but as previously mentioned, the only bourbon I've had has scarred me to my core, so I don't have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, just look for some kind of aged relative and you'll be just fine.
I 100% will never do that, but good to know. All right, so I have a choice for you. I have two stories. One is a thing I saw on the side of the road while running, and the other is an adventure in Indiana. Which do you want? I guess we could do both if you want.
But have them both.
All right. All right, so let's go first. Things I saw on the side of the road while running, a legit bouncy house in someone's backyard. To the best of my knowledge, I don't believe it was a birthday party. Like, there weren't a bunch of cars everywhere. I think they were just excited and had a bounce house in their backyard.
They're making like consumer bounce houses a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. You got to get the moneyed elite who've got children, I guess.
Based on where in South Bend I was, I don't believe that was the situation.
They probably sell them in the Aldi miscellaneous aisle.
I feel like you're crapping on that aisle. That aisle is very enjoyable. You can find anything there.
Right? Pregnancy tests, socket set.
Yeah.
Pair of rubber gloves.
Pair of underwear?
Sure.
Probably multiple pairs. Actually, all right. And the things I saw are Adventures in Indiana.
Did you go in the bounce house? Did you just like
no, it was
help yourself?
It was in their backyard.
Hey, it's like that woman who would rest by your house. I mean, you just help yourself. It's fine.
I completely forgot about that. So far, nobody's done that at our house down here. Hopefully that will continue.
If they say something to you like, this is my bouncing spot.
Yeah. Crazy thing is we actually have chairs out in front of our house now and nobody stopped. We didn't have chairs at the old house and somebody did. Irony. So I live, as I'm sure you all know, I live in South Bend, Indiana, which is a interesting test case of a city. So walking out of Kroger, ran in to get Doritos. Walking out of Kroger, you know the testicles that hang from various from various trucks when people are trying to look hard?
Yeah, like the plastic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Homeboy has them, like a keychain size pair of testicles that is hooked to the back of his hat. You know, like the part like where above the snap back part of the hat.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the okay. Yeah,
no, this
go ahead.
This is on his the hat on his head.
Yes.
So he has keychain size testicles, two of them that are pinned to the back
above
of
the
his,
squatchy.
Above the squatchy on his hat. Never thought I'd see that. But
I did. What does that say about a person when they have faux testicles dangling from their squatchy?
I don't know. Dude was probably in mid 50s. I'm wondering if he didn't know that they were there and somebody put them there as a joke.
It's no joke. No joke to hang some nuts from your friend Squatchy, friends.
Yeah. Also, I didn't know that's what it was called, but I'm glad to know now.
That's what it is. The little hat button.
Yeah.
It took me a minute to come up with it. It's like the thing on the end of shoelaces, the anglet or something like that, I think it's called.
We give names to things that don't need names, don't we?
Yeah. Like cloaca.
That one's pretty important. I think that one does get
pretty
a name.
Useful.
Has a lot of functions. All right. Twitter
Indiana,
questions.
What a great state.
Indiana, what a state. Not sure I'm giving you the adjective there, but.
Twitter questions?
Twitter questions.
Is that where we're heading?
That's where we're heading.
Okay. I asked you find people for Twitter questions, and some of you helped a little. Thank you. Lev Zubov at the Jackpot News. Yeah, asks,
one of our Russian friends.
Lev Zubov. I don't know. Maybe he's Russian. I have
has
no idea.
To be.
The Jackpot News isn't very Russian.
That's how they get you.
That is how they get you. Do we have anyone who actually looks like they have improved since last year?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yes. I mean, Wilson Ramos.
We just talked about Michael Fulmer. Matt Boyd is head and shoulders better than he was. Sure. I wanted to talk about him this week. We discussed this, but he kind of deserves more time than I had allotted for the talk about him.
Matthew Boyd.
So we'll talk about him more in depth next week.
He was dynamite last night. He's peculiar in the sense that he doesn't have overpowering stuff, but his stuff is good when he is locating it, and from that lefty angle, it can be baffling to hitters. I mean, it is really good.
Yeah,
he just can't get away with a ton of mistakes, otherwise he gets taken yard.
Yes,
but he had this big stretch with a home run free stretch, which is so unlike last year.
I'm feeling pretty good about my bold take that he wasn't going to lead the AL in home runs allowed.
That's looking like a lock.
There's like a lot of season to play.
My early predictions, I felt so good about. Like there was a few of them that were kind of close. Like when Jacoby and Victor Reyes almost hit each other, and when Wilson Ramos struck out three times in a row on opening day. Like I was kind of feeling it, and then they all were kind of almost.
It's early, but I'm pretty sure we're getting both of those. So I would just hang on.
Scope at the Golden Sombrero.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not going to be the only one this year. Let's be honest. Also, Gregory Soto looks better than he did last year. There's actually quite a few.
Yeah. Stop being so negative, propagandist. Okay, Senko Meal at Slugwizzy asks, when and where was the wildest storm you've ever been in? And did you survive? These questions are meteorology related because we're supposed to have snow in Detroit.
What? Why? That's probably not a question you can answer.
Why? Well, am I a meteorologist? I can pretend. Wildest storm.
When I was a kid and lived in Florida, there was a hurricane that gave us so much water it came up to the floorboards of my dad's Dodge Neon. So that was...
Wow. Like, there was a storm surge or whatever?
No, just a butt ton of rain.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Also, maybe a storm surge. I don't know. I was like five. Could be.
Did you survive?
Yes.
Okay. So when I was maybe 8 or 9, we, in the summer, we were at this cottage and there was a thunderstorm. And cottages, as you may know, are often by lakes. And a lightning bolt hit the tree that was maybe 20 feet off the corner of the cottage. And I was in the front porch of the cottage, and it sounded like a bomb went off. And just the entire tree exploded. And there were tree shards everywhere. And just the flash of light and the sound of it was something. And it smelled like lightning-y.
Like kind of like fire smoky, assuming?
It was weird. So, and my body survived, my brain.
I think we have heard 118 episodes of evidence to suggest that maybe the brain not so much.
Yeah. Nick Holler_24 asks, when do you think Matt Manning will be called up?
That's a good question. Do you think he is the next starter that gets the call?
No.
I don't either. And he clearly wouldn't be called up for a bullpen role.
I don't think it's going to be until very late in the season to give him a cup of coffee. I think that's all it is.
I could see it before September, but I don't. Yeah, I agree. I don't think so. I think post All-Star break for sure.
So it depends how he pitches. We're going to have mostly a minor league season this year, so that's going to.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't want to bring him up and stunt his growth if you're not going to be using him every fifth day. Yeah. He just needs to pitch.
But my prediction will be a couple of he'll get one or two starts late in the season. That's it.
And that would be fine. Be fine.
I think it'd be fine. Mitch_from_MI.
Michigan,
AKA most likely. Mitch. Yeah, Mitch. Asks, you have the chance to attend and relive one past Tigers game. What game would you pick? For me, it would be either the last game on the corner, or the 06 pennant clincher. Also, I like to see potluck food power rankings and Akil Baddoo be the 2022 Tulip Time Parade Grand Marshal. A lot of Holland energy lately in the questions.
Do you have pull in that? Like, could you make that happen?
I mean, I have the right heredity to, you know, pull some strings.
I'm imagining like a Dutch mafia and that you're at the head of it. Am I off base there?
Yeah, but it's just like everybody goes around buying coffee with coupons and, you know, being frugal. Like, it's not that exciting of a mafia. It's mostly about saving money, not like making money.
Sounds pretty dope. I'd be in.
It's pretty dope. Past Tigers. Yeah. The last game at the corner, I feel like that would be a good one. You know, I went to Tiger Stadium when I was real young. And at the time I just assumed it would always be there. And I have real visceral memories of walking through and seeing the green grass, but I didn't take time to appreciate it for what it was. And then when I was in, you know, high school, when it was kind of the end of Tiger Stadium, I didn't appreciate it then either, because it's like, oh, I'm a cool high school kid, based, you know, whatever. And so I kind of resonate with that. I would like to enjoy Tiger Stadium before they took it down.
I was there, I think, the seventh to last game, because they had like numbers that they would pull down. I remember that. I was very, very young.
Sure.
But that was my first Tigers game in any capacity. Yep. It was that year. But I feel like this is a bit of a basic B answer, but it's the Mags homer to send them to the World Series. Sure. For me. Like, that's probably the best sports moment of my life so far.
Yeah, you notice we're bending towards stuff that happened in our lifetime because obviously we have fond memories of it. But like the World Series clinchers, you know, in 68 and 84, I mean.
I don't know. Was there anything good about the world before 1989? I don't think so. I think from there on out is what I'm looking at.
When you came along, it just got a lot better.
Definitely. Music stopped sucking, that's for sure.
What do you know? You don't ever listen to music.
That's true. Good point.
Yeah, you would know.
There was no podcast before I was born, so.
Brett Yodi asks, more lives, cats or Harold Castro?
Harold Castro. Hitting Harold. He's hitting again.
Nobody else could hit what's-his-face Bassett.
Yeah.
Besides him.
Harold had three hits, something like that.
Yeah. Nobody else could hit him.
I mean, if you're polling our top nine hitters right now, somehow Harold is in that list.
So Harold is the kind of horse you want pulling the plow. He's not going to barrel race. He's not going to win you the Kentucky Derby, but he is going to he's going to help your farm.
I'm glad you explained that metaphor because I had no idea what that meant.
He's a plow horse. He's a Belgian. Okay. Smoko on the water at Ocho Blinko. Ask, where are people coming up with these names? Cecil Fielder is a thunderstorm. Alan Trammell is a tornado. What would Mickey Tettleton be?
All right, you're on your own there.
The doldrums.
Okay.
Because he just stands there. Nothing's happening.
Well,
that's all I got.
Before my time.
Wow. Mickey Tettleton. He had a very distinctive approach at the plate. Very, to say calm and no moving pieces would be an understatement. The dude was a statue. Think Larish, Jeff Larish, but kind of extreme. Are you old enough to remember Jeff Larish?
I am. I'm stunned that Jeff Larish got a mention on tonight's show.
Why shouldn't he?
When do you think the last time he got a mention on a Tigers-related bit of content is?
Mickey Tettleson was a more stoic Jeff Larish, if that tells you anything. Okay, Lee Thompson at Lee T Sports asks, how many years does Victor Reyes have to stay on the roster as a Rule 5 pick?
I feel like this is tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I feel like there's a technical answer, and then there's maybe what he's getting at. The technical answer is he doesn't have to. You could send him down to Toledo. Once you've seasoned the storm of that first Rule 5 year, they can kind of do with you what you want as long as you're under team control. But maybe you're hinting at just the faithfulness to having carried him. Here's the thing with Victor. He's shown flashes of brilliance too. What was it? In 19, he was like our third best hitter.
Here's the thing now, with Victor Reyes. Nobody else we have is any good either. Like, everyone has the pet guy that they don't like, and that's completely fine. But look up and down the roster. There are no better options. Everyone
what are you
going to
do, run up Derek Hill?
Yeah.
And let him?
He is not good.
Who else do you want? Yeah.
I mean, I have no issues with you, Hayden, on Victor Reyes. That's completely fine. But many of our players are suboptimal.
Who we have are the least bad options. Yeah. It's like picking a presidential candidate. Like, they're the least bad ones that we have.
Let's not get political.
I'm not saying it.
It was a joke. Settle down. It was a joke.
Oh, things are a little testy around here. Well, not as testy as that guy's hat, but still a little testy. Calico Joe at Calico Joe MLB asks, important Tigers question / idea. Can you do a deep dive on where the old hot dogs Tigers vendor is now? I'm sure others remember him, and it might be an interesting story. This is like the Tigers opera guy or singing Tiger hot dog guy. You remember him?
I do, actually. And one thing I'm positive of is that the story is not interesting. Wherever he is right now, it is not interesting.
So he was on Twitter for a long time and posted a lot of stuff. His name is Charlie. I don't know his last name.
That's a name that makes sense for him.
but I think he also worked at like a men's clothing store, and he took his job very seriously, and he took very seriously his commitment to mustard and not ketchup. And I couldn't quite tell if it was a little bit of a caricature that he was playing or if he truly felt it, but he kind of took his commitment to mustard only to some pretty extreme levels.
I have no issues with a hot dog vendor playing a caricature. Like, that's fine with me.
And I couldn't quite tell if it was leaning into a character or if his commitment to mustard ran so deep, like it hurt his interpersonal relationships.
He probably would hate me. I don't like either ketchup or mustard on my dogs.
I don't either. This is where I have a child's palate. I don't like mustard on my dogs. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's Twitter questions. Thank you for trying.
You're not going to insult them tonight like you did last week?
They did their best. They're the least bad. They're the least bad options we have.
What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan, here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me, I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you. Oh, Eric. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. The show is at Podcastianos. Eric, I want to throw a special shout out to you. You did invest in the microphone. You have what is it called? A snowball?
I'm looking at it. It's a snowball ice microphone. It's kind of retro, and it does look like a white snowball, and it's pretty. That's why I bought it.
Yeah, that's definitely. You so eloquently put it that it won't make us professional. It will make professional sounding podcast.
Is the box said professional sounding podcast. So, hey, if you can't have them good, they can only sound good.
Yeah, that's profound. Mm-hmm. Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here?
Did you know that only 8 companies make 90%+ of the U.S. whiskey?
I did not.
So this is like entertainment where Sony and Disney own like 95% of the market share. All that stuff that you're looking at on the shelves is produced by some international multinational conglomerate. So it doesn't really matter.
Unless you're just talking about taste.
Just look for something with a bird on it. You'll be fine.
Always look for something with a bear on it.
Yeah, that would be good too.
Or a dude with no teeth.
It just tells you big capitalism getting you coming and going.
Yeah, from the
Isn't that right, comrades?
From the European Super League all the way down to bourbon. All right.
Gotcha.
Enough nonsense, enough buttholes. Let's get out of here for the week. Until next week, eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I saw that article. I'm like, we should probably talk about buttholes on the show this week.
I'm glad we didn't connect it to cuddling with Ron Gardenhire.
My mom actually asked me about that one. She's like, you guys talked about cuddling with Gardenhire on the show? Like, sure did.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.